Thank you for taking time to listen to our service. We're happy you've joined us today. Visit nbcocala.com to find out more about who we are as a ministry or get information about upcoming events. There, you can also discover all the convenient ways to partner with us financially. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the service.
Amen. Will you welcome our internet family? God bless you guys. Peace to your house. You may be seated. You may be seated. All right. You ready to get in the Word? All right. Well, we only got 3 minutes, so I'm not going to do it. No, it's First Wednesday, y'all, so we've got some time tonight. Look with me. Well, tonight I'm doing a message called Overcoming Anxiety. Overcoming Anxiety. Let me, from the tip top of this message, say this is not talked about enough in church. And it's a real deal thing, and we want to find what God says about it, give you some understanding of some things. That's part of our freedom, is to understand some things, and then grab a hold of some application from God's word that's going to help us. Amen. Look with me in Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety, say it, anxiety.
Anxiety.
Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Okay, now depression is not, don't overly define that or narrowly define that. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word, come on, say a good word.
Good word
makes it what? Glad. Okay, let's look at a couple of words here. This is anxiety, this is fear, this is angst, this is uncertainty. In the heart of man, Old Testament use of the word heart also includes the idea of what we understand New Testament as your spirit and your soul, and we've been talking a lot about that. Causes depression. And when something is depressed, it is pressed down. Okay, so this does not mean depression is sometimes the overbroad definition of depression. There are many, 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 many levels and aspects of depression. This also is to weigh down or to press down. But, everybody say but. But a good word makes it glad. It brightens it up. How many of you would rather be glad than sad? Y'all, if I was getting up the glad bus, some of y'all just missed it, okay? How many of you would rather be glad than sad? There you are. There you are. So what is it that makes the heart glad? What is it?
The word.
A good word.
Yes.
A good word. You ready for your good word?
Yes.
Here it is. If I were to take the whole Bible and put it in this high-tech machine and boil it all down and just get the essence of what this good news is. Here it is. You ready? You are never alone. And you're never without help. That makes my heart glad. Seriously, that makes my heart glad. If you don't know that, it's going to weigh you down. But when you understand you are never alone and you are never without help. Can I get an amen? David in Psalm 56, he said, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty together. Okay. What is it that qualifies him not being afraid? He's put his trust in God. So here's what he said. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Okay, look at verse 3. But whenever I am afraid, I'll do what? I put my trust in God. Okay, so listen. Sometimes in faith world, in church world, I am not afraid. And then other times we are peeling you off the floor, right? Okay, look at me. It's okay. It's okay. Even David, who had a heart after God, he said this. And he learned this, and get the right tone on this. He said, when I put my trust in God, I'm not afraid. Sometimes I find myself afraid, and I realize I need to put my trust in God. So the pivot is trusting in God. Do you hear me? The pivot is to trust in God. What on earth does that mean? It just means you're God and I'm not, and I trust you as God to know more than I know, to be able to do more than I can do, to be stronger than I am, I trust you. I trust you. And when we trust him, we'll find ourselves that we're not afraid. There may be things that, quote, you could be afraid of, but when your trust is in the Lord, and in this fact again, in the good word, I'm never alone, I'm never without help, then I don't have to be afraid. Are you here? So trust is the pivot. Listen to this. We all experience anxiety. We all do. From time to time, all of us do. Different levels. There is common anxiety. There are anxiety disorders. Now, anxiety disorders are beyond the scope of what I'm going to share tonight. Yet, I believe everything I share tonight will be helpful if you have an anxiety disorder. Remember this also, and I meant to say this at the top of the message. Every message here is to help you, and it's to help you to help somebody. Okay? So bear that in mind. You want to be helped, and then you want to be able to help others with what you receive. So common anxiety really has to do with anything unfamiliar, uncertain, or previously bad, and that's normal. So if something's unfamiliar to you, you're uncertain, or you've had a bad experience somewhere before, you know, how many of you ever had a weird uncle? You know, and every time he came up to you, he'd put you in a headlock, you know, do something. So, you know, every time you see him, you're like, or you ask your mom, Uncle Weirdo's not going to be there, is he? You know, and so there's a normal anxiety. For kids, things happen like this. I remember these. How many of you remember the first day of school ever? What was it? It's unfamiliar. You're uncertain, you know, and then your older brother makes up stories about how bad it is, you know, and so you show up. How about this? As a little kid getting a shot. How many of you remember when I was coming up, they were not so polite about it? Just kind of. And then shot two, you clinched. And it hurt three times as bad for 3 days. Come on, has anybody go to the same doctor I did when I was a kid? Or pull in your first tooth. We have video of my youngest son, Gabriel, getting his first tooth pulled. And he was so nervous about it. And then and he was praying, oh, Jesus, and mom. And I can't pull teeth. I just can't do it. So I said, go to your mom. I don't even want to look at it, okay? I'm tough about some things, but I don't know what it is about teeth. Go see your mom. Go see the neighbor, you know. Okay, what about the high dive? Do you remember that? They don't do a lot of that anymore because of insurance. I mean, we played with lawn darts and wood burners, you know, but remember you'd walk up that high ladder and there's a line of kids behind you and you get out on that high. And what happens? Anxiety, right? You know, those kind of things happen to us. How many of you ever had to do a recital? Yeah, I can remember standing in the wings of the stage in an ill-fitting tuxedo with my trumpet ready to go out and just, you know, at times just, you know, anxiety happening. And then as adults, things happen. A job interview. Doctor's appointment. Court date. Hurricane. And we feel anxiety. Have you felt it? Have you felt it? If you haven't felt it, I'm a little concerned. Because there's uncertainty about it, and part of that is normal. Now listen, it's real, it's common, and if you deal with anxiety on any level, don't be embarrassed. Act on it, and we're going to help you with that tonight. And this is the other thing I want to do. I want to tear down stigma on this. Stigma has to do with shame. And if you feel shame about something, you typically won't step out into the light and ask for help. And every one of us can be helped. And so many people deal with this and then have to hide it because of cultural stigma. And I say, let the church tear the stigma off and tear it down so that people could be free. Amen? All right. For you to grow as a person, I'm going to stay kind of close to my notes so that we can make good time on this. For you to grow as a person. How many of you know you're to grow as a person?
Amen.
If I was getting up a load for the Grow as a Person bus, some of y'all just missed it, okay? That's what makes you joyful and alive. That's part of the reason you want to be happy, stable, fruitful, and blessed, is so that you can be a blessing. You've got to keep growing as a person in every way. Be a lifelong learner. Continue to read. Continue to learn. Watch documentaries. Study the Bible. Go back to school. I mean, there's so many things that you need to grow as a person. For you to grow as a person, one of the things you have to do is keep stepping outside your comfort zone. Okay, now follow this. You have to keep stepping outside of your comfort zone, stretching yourself, expanding your limits, expanding your boundaries. Here's what anxiety does. Anxiety holds you back. Anxiety pulls you back. Anxiety keeps you within your current limits. And if you stay within your current limits, you stop growing. So anxiety is an enemy in that sense. Anxiety is a fear response that causes physiological urges. Enzymes are released. Have you ever had something happen and all of a sudden you just feel this cold hot on the inside? Mike, I feel like I'm feeding back or something on the low end. You just feel like all of a sudden on the inside you feel something kind of, enzymes get released. Things happen, you know, in your mind as well. It pulls you back. It pulls you back. You can feel your body drawing back. Now, part of that is good. Everybody say good. Okay? If you're by a ledge, assuming you're looking, but I'll tell you now, I get near a ledge. What happens? My body pulls me back. There's a chemical reaction that pulls me back. You know, if you were in a boat and you're playing in the water and all of a sudden you see a dorsal fin, what will your body do? And you'll feel it. You're out running, you come around a corner and there's a big dog frothing at the mouth. What happens? You kind of pull back. So in that sense, it's good. Everybody say, that's good. But there's other ways that it is not good for us, because anxiety keeps you from doing things. And then the positive sense, anxiety, the physiological result of that would keep me from doing something that would pull me back. But in a negative sense, when we have that kind of fear and anxiety going on in us, it keeps us from doing things. And here's what it will try to do: develop patterns. It will try to develop patterns of avoidance in your life, and then you stop growing. It keeps you within your current bounds and even tightens those. So it creates avoidance, situations we can't control or situations that make us anxious. And here's what we do. We stop leaning forward in life and we draw back and our growth stops. So anxiety and fear do their best to stop you, to limit you, to stunt you, to immobilize you in areas of your life. So in that regard, we are against anxiety. We are against fear because it keeps you from growing. In its worst form, there's something called agoraphobia. It literally means fear of the marketplace. But what it actually is, that's just the term chosen to represent being out. And it's actually fear of fear. It's fear of getting afraid. It's fear of the panic that would come, that you find yourself in a situation that's not easy to get out of, not easy, it's difficult to escape from, or it would be embarrassing for you to escape from. And so what does that do then? It makes you want to withdraw and just get into a very, very safe place. And that's what we want to avoid. Amen? Now, this is all happening in your soul. Everybody say, in my soul. So it's emotional. It deals with our thoughts, but it becomes chemical and it becomes physiological. So we have to deal with anxiety, where anxiety will limit you and back you into a place that is much, much smaller than what you were designed to be in. You are to continue to grow. And some of the reasons we don't grow is because I'm afraid to do that. And we may not voice that to everybody, but we don't. You know, my stepdad today, you know, surgery, he was in construction forever. 55 years he worked hard outside. He played for the Gators in 1951. Played for Air Force after that. And then he worked 55 years out in the hot sun construction. He was a superintendent. I remember as a, like a preteen, early teen years, he would talk to my mom and he said, I think I want to start my own company. I think I want to do that. I can do this. And then he'd talk to her and she would get anxious about it. Well, what if, and what if, and what if, and what if? And instead, they just kind of pulled back. I was talking to him a couple of months ago. I said, do you still wish you'd done that? He goes, I so wish I'd done that. You know, and what would he have done? He would have grown. He would have prospered. You know, his world would have expanded. He's always been generous and a blessing to folks with what he had, but he would have been able to do more. What stopped that dream from happening was anxiety, so to speak, that caused him to pull back and not step ahead. Amen? I had some anxiety 28 years ago. Oh, I can't tell you the anxiety. My best pants were shiny. Not by design, but by a thousand ironings. And a car that I hoped would make it from my borrowed mobile home my grandma lived in down in Fruitland Park up here to a rented space to start a church. I cannot tell you the anxiety that was inside. What if nobody comes? What if, 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 what if? And I thought several times, you know, I mean, you know what? I could probably do something else. But it was in there, and I'm glad that I didn't let that hold me back. You know, and whatever it is in your life, there's dreams that you have and calls that you have. Here's something to think about, and I'm about to give you six things, okay? But here's something, first of all, you need to think about as you're measuring and dealing with anxiety. And it has to do with this word, duration. Everybody said duration. And sometimes it's been said, and I love this phrase, I've used this as a life principle before. Here it is, you ready? Sometimes you only have to be brave for 20 seconds. There have been a number of things that I've had to walk up to, and you're like, and you just have to be brave for 20 seconds. I've had to have some hard conversations before, deal with some unpleasant things before, and you're like, I'd just rather not. And all you have to do is be brave for 20 seconds. Are you hearing me? Let's go back to the doctor's office. Getting a shot. You know, getting a shot. And you're like, I hate these. There's some people in the list of things they fear, needles and blood is way, way up there. Getting a shot. Walking in for a job interview. My wife tells a story of she got picked to be an office aide like in 9th or 10th grade. And she was very shy. Believe it or not, she was very, very shy. And part of her duty would be to go to the different classrooms, open the door, go in and get the attendance sheets from the teachers. And she said she would open the door and walk in and she knew everyone was looking at her. And she got to the place where she couldn't open the door. And she had to go back and say, I can't do this. So there are things that stop us. How many of you remember rotary dial phones? I can remember like 9th grade, 10th grade, there were girls I was sure I was going to marry. They didn't know me, but I loved them. And I can remember getting the phone and dialing. Am I the only one? Yeah. Anxiety will hold you back. Joyce Meyer says this, do it afraid. There's some things you go, yeah, I'm afraid, but here I go. And you just do it afraid. How many of you are glad our first responders sometimes do it afraid? So sometimes you have a this too shall pass scenario. Can I tell you about the hurricane? It's going to come and it's going to go. It will be over shortly, okay? And the good thing about the hurricane moving fast is not going to sit like Harvey did over Houston. So it's going to, you know, and it'll slow down, we believe, by the time it gets near us and then and goes away. Sometimes you have a this too shall pass, and sometimes you have this. You ready? Everything has changed. And that can create anxiety. Here's what you need to review it as, though, a new normal. Everybody say, a new normal. And you got to believe this. God saw this day. And you got to trust that God will give you the grace, and God will give you the strength, and God will give you the wisdom to deal with a new normal. How many of you have had major things happen in your life, and you realize, you know what, I've got a new normal. Or you can go sour, bitter, and withdraw from life. Or you can realize God saw this day. God is with me where I am at right now, because I'm never alone and I'm never without help. And God saw this day, and in my new normal, and I've had new normals, you've had new normals that you wouldn't have voted for, but now you've got it, and that's where you are. And God will help you in that place too. Don't let anxiety rule over in that place as well. Amen? Amen. Now, not to dismiss, minimize, ignore any of this dealing with worry and anxiety, but we are supposed to cast our cares over onto the Lord. We're to cast our anxieties over onto the Lord. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. All right. I'm looking for something here that I want to make sure I did not miss, because I think I missed it here. Are you there? Yes. Please wait for me. I never do this, but I... It's worth it. Call somebody. All right, let me say it. I don't see it, but I know it's there. We'll probably come up on it in a minute. Anxiety, fear, it's normal. It happens, but it's not the best reaction. It's not the right reaction. So we've got to find a better way to deal with it. Now listen, there's not condemnation that you would feel that, or it may be working in your life, but we have to understand there is a better way. There is something that is actually right for us. And the Bible says much about it. Did you know, and I've not counted them, but I've been told by folks that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. In one form or another, 365. Does that number ring a bell? Okay. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your, come on, anxiety on him because he cares for you. So you either cast them or you carry them. And when you carry your anxiety, that's not what the Lord intends for you, because he what? Because he cares for you. Not only does he care for you, he wants to do the caring for you. So we have to cast our anxiety over onto the Lord. The lie is this: there's nothing anyone can do. And when you believe the lie, there's nothing anyone can do, here's what that leads to: you do nothing. And you continue to have your world minimized and minimized and minimized. So I want to share with you some things, six things. I'm going to go through these rather quick, and I believe these will be helpful for us tonight. You ready? Yeah. Realize. No. Realize. Back up. Realize you have a heavenly Father. Come on, read it. Realize you have a heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. The context of that is this: because you have a heavenly Father. And your heavenly Father, Jesus describes in this way, he knows what you need. He sees, he knows, he understands. So when you realize you have a heavenly Father, say, I have a heavenly Father. When you realize that, when you're assured of the fact that I have a heavenly Father that will take care of me, when you're assured of that, you don't worry. When you're not assured of that, you worry. So realize, be assured that you have a heavenly Father. Look at this with me real quick in Psalm 22. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. Here's the thing. You don't even have to hide it from God. God, I've been really afraid. I'm afraid right now. You don't have to hide that. He doesn't belittle that. He doesn't get upset with you. Why didn't you trust? Why didn't you? No, he's a good heavenly Father, and he doesn't ignore or belittle you. Look at this in Psalm 94, verse 19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. The consolation relates to what I was feeling. This is God's response to what I was feeling. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. So number one, realize you have a heavenly Father. Say, I have a heavenly Father. Second is this. You might have seen it before. Conviction. Conviction. Really, this is what I mean by this. Check inside. Check inside. Is the Holy Spirit saying anything to you? Is there? You ready? You ready? Come on. Is there sin? Are there habits? Are there practices? Are there wrong relationships? Are there wrong associations that are actually inviting anxiety into your life? You know, if three nights a week you stay up till 2:15 watching crazy weird movies, eating cheap pizza, 2 liter of Mountain Dew, and a pound bag of Sour Patch Kids, and then you wonder, I don't know why I can't sleep. You know, there may be just little things like that that are throwing you off in so many ways. I just don't court fear. There's some things I don't watch. I don't like fear. Fear's my enemy. There's something I just don't want to see it. There's commercials for some movies. And I walk through and we're coming up on Halloween season and there's no regard for your family anymore. And it just pouring in. You walk through and I was like, you know, it's good anxiety because I don't want that. I don't want it in here. Conviction. Everybody say conviction. And so you want, Holy Spirit, show me. Is there something I'm doing that's inviting anxiety into my life? Here's the next one. Get help. Get help. Everybody say get help. If you have something persistent, something that's causing you to isolate, something that's limiting you, get some help, okay? Talk to somebody. Listen, life-controlling things you rarely ever, if ever, can fix on your own. There's strength in numbers. We are better together. Talk to a friend. Get some counsel. Talk to your doctor. Get into a small group. There's strength in numbers. Get help. Turn to your neighbor and say, get help. Now they're all paranoid. It's like, what do they know? Next one. We're making good time here. Eviction. Everybody say eviction. This means you need to name your fear. And you need to serve it notice. And tell it to leave. And just get fed up. You need to get a holy hatred. That's a good phrase. Everybody say holy hatred. I am so done with this and feeling this way. And this stopping my life and limiting my life. And stopping me from going where I want to go. Where I really, things I really dreamt of doing. It's stopping me. And you need to evict it. Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:10, it says, get this. It says, banish anxiety from your heart. Hold on to that. Banish anxiety from your heart. And then 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love drives out all fear. Do you know what I see? Fear moving away. You can banish it from your heart. And perfect love, what is perfect love? It's the love your heavenly Father has for you. What does it do? It drives out fear. So eviction, get it out of your life. Amen. Next, pray. This is novel. Pray. James 4:2 says, you do not have, you don't ask. I cannot tell you over all my years of ministry how many times somebody's dealing with something and I will ask them the simple question. Have you prayed about this? I can't tell you how many times I've been dealing with something and I start to feel some pressure or whatever. And the Holy Spirit, because he's good, will remind me, have you prayed about this? Pray. Matthew 21:22 says this, and whatever things, come on, let that soak in. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Here we go. Here's pay dirt. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Look at verse 7. And here's the result. Here's his consolation. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's where the anxiety is firing off on the inside. And it's a peace that passes understanding, which means that those who don't have that peace don't understand how you could be peaceful in what you're going through. But that peace descends upon you. Amen. So pray. Next is this. We're plowing. Thoughts and words. Everybody say thoughts and words. This is so huge. Look, continuing on in Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's tied in with your thoughts and your words. Thoughts and words. Say it again. Thoughts and words. Your thoughts and your words must be congruent with your prayer. Because you can be praying one thing. God, here's what your word says, and I'm asking you to do this, and I believe that you're strong, and you are my Heavenly Father, and you're praying all that. But then if your thoughts and your words contradict your prayer, you kind of pull the plug on it. Are you hearing me? Don't use your own mouth to speak against your own hope. And I know of no one that hopes they stay anxious. I know of no one that hopes it gets worse. You know, and so stop saying those things. And you say, well, I'm thinking it. Look at me for this. You are under no obligation to say what you're thinking. So many people ruin so many things. Well, I thought it, so I said it. In the Proverbs, it says, if you devise evil in your heart, and that Hebrew word would include your thoughts, put your hand over your mouth. So it means you don't have to say what you're thinking. And here's a principle. We'll put it up in just a minute. Your speech centers dominate your brain. Understand this. Your speech centers dominate your brain. So if you got something going on in your brain, you've got a thought, and you've got to get rid of it. Okay? So here's what you do. To change your thoughts, change your words. So since your speech centers dominate your brain, stay with me, just a few more minutes here. Speech centers dominate your brain. If something's going on in your brain and you want to change it, you need to speak. You need to turn on the speech centers. You need to actually speak something out. That's the benefit of speaking God's word. Speaking good things, speaking your hope. You've got a thought going on in there. And so I got to get rid of it. It's It's kind of like a song sometimes. You ever get a song stuck in your head? Rock the boat, don't rock the boat over. Rock the boat, don't you know, baby. Rock the boat, rock the boat. Dove Award, nothing. I kid you not, I don't know why. I get up early every morning. I have my devotional time with God. I kid you not, some mornings I wake up and there's the stupidest song in my brain. And here's what you have to do. You have to replace it. You have to replace it. Kick in the speech centers. God designed us this way. Kick in the speech centers. If you're saying, our whole house is going to be blown away and we'll never find our animals. Why'd you say that? Because I was thinking it. Do you want that? No. But we'll never see Fluffy again. Do you know that? Do you want that? You need to speak what you hope. And don't just think it, but speak it. And we pray Fluffy will be well. Stop saying, I have anxiety. I am anxious. I always freak out whenever every time. Stop saying it. Stop saying it. If you devise evil in your heart, put your hand over your mouth. Look at this real quick. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say, come on, say it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will what? Trust. There's the pivot. Look at Psalm 56. In God I put my trust, and I will not be afraid. What can man, what can anything do to me? If God is for me, who can be against me? And here's what you have to do. You have to find your voice and talk to yourself. Okay? Talk to yourself. You've done it before. Some of you argue. Some of you tell yourself jokes. Some of you still make faces in the mirror. I won't tell if I do or not. But you need to sometimes just take yourself in and get in front of the mirror and say, you're going to cut it out. We're not worrying today. I'm putting my hope in God, my trust in God. I'm going to be okay. I am never, Lord, are you looking at me, mirror? You're never alone. You're never without help. You need to talk to yourself. You know who else you need to talk to? The fear. You need to talk to the fear. Like we talked about earlier, you need to serve notice. No more. Alicia just ordered a shirt that says, not today, devil. Yeah. And you just need to talk to the fear, talk to your enemy. No, no, that is it. Right. Well, what if I evict it? What if I chase it off and it comes back again? Well, what if you're at a nice picnic and mosquitoes come around you and you swat them away 3-4 times and they keep coming back? Do you just like, okay, all right. You continue to swat it away. Are you hearing me? All right. I want to take just a couple of moments here. And I want to do something that we refer to as a freedom exercise. Because Jesus didn't come just to save you. He came to free you. Do you hear me? He didn't just come to make a way, a bridge for you to get to heaven and thank God forever for that. But he came to set you free. I want us to take just a moment to do this, okay? This is not new age anything. They're just kind of taking the power of how God has built our soul and the truth of his word and kind of bringing all that together. Would you just take a moment, just kind of close your eyes where you are. Try to forget about anybody around you just for a moment. God has given you an incredible, powerful imagination. I want you to imagine a throne. And that throne is actually the throne of your life. It's the throne of your heart. And whoever sits on that throne rules you. They call the shots. They rule the day. And there's so many things that try to crawl up into that throne. Anxiety is one of them. Fear is one of them. Habits. There are all kinds of things that try to crawl up on that throne. I didn't say you didn't love God. But those things try to crawl up on the throne. Now I want you to imagine just a moment, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Imagine the strong, beautiful, calm, confident, glorious Jesus just coming into the room of your heart. Walking over to that throne. He doesn't have to throw anybody or anything off. It's just by him coming to that throne, everything else leaves that throne. And the only one who has the right to sit on that throne is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I want you just to imagine the Prince of Peace is back on the throne. Let him rule you. Fear had to leave the room. Anxiety had to leave the room. Insecurity had to leave the room. Get off that throne. You know, my dad used to come home and he had the big recliner. It was back in the day where there was dad's chair. When we heard dad pull up, we knew, get out of the chair. Well, when Jesus comes in, he doesn't have to fight anybody. He is Lord of all. He's Prince of Peace. He's your Prince of Peace. Let that just kind of build in your soul. And invite him right now. Jesus, I want you to be the Prince of Peace. I've imagined a beautiful thing, but I want you to be the Prince of Peace in my heart and in my life. Just your presence and your placement upon that throne drives that fear away. Second thing I want you to do is this, and then we're going to close in prayer in just a moment. We talk all the time about God wanting to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. And if where you are right now is not where you want to be at all, with fear and things that you're concerned about, even the storm and so forth, there's a path. There's a path. The path is made up of steps. Hear this. There's always a path. If you're in a financial situation right now, did you know there's a path? If your relationships are hurting right now, did you know there's a path? And there's one who knows the next step, and that's all you need to know tonight. Is what is your next step? With your eyes still closed, will you just kind of hold your hands out in front of you as if to just receive from the Lord? And just simply in your heart of hearts, just ask the Lord, for my path, Lord, will you show me the next step? Invite him into that process. Invite him into that to show you the next step. You out of your heart, say that to him. Ask him right now. Take a moment. Now, it may not come to your mind tonight, but I promise you when it's time to take that next step, you're going to know. Now, take a moment and just thank him. Thank him that he's the Prince of Peace. Thank him for ordering your steps and seeing you all the way through and setting you free. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to remind us always, that no matter what's going on that you saw this day, I don't have to be afraid because I'm never alone. I'm never without help. Even if it's a this too shall pass scenario, I'll be all right. Or if it's a new normal for my life, I'll be all right because God saw this day and I'm never alone. I'm never without help. God, we thank you for that. Look at this one last verse. Isaiah 41:10, the message. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady and keep a firm grip on you. You don't have to fear. Did you get anything at all out of this tonight?
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Meadowbrook Church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NBC Ocala.